Okay, guys, while John tries to figure out his next move, I'm gonna go ahead and try to get this podcast thing going.
What's the music going now?
Sure,
okay.
Go ahead.
Right. I'm your host, Jerry, and this may contain nerdity.
Some full frontal nerdity?
Yes. All right, I have with me today, I have Seth Bavard, the Hardyman brothers, John and Steven, and Brandon Royal. I just got a few questions I'm going to ask you guys. What was, like, the first time you've ever been exposed to Dungeons & Dragons or an RPG of any kind? It don't matter.
RPG of any kind?
Well, I mean, video games.
Video games.
Mostly, yes.
The D&D after that.
Now, did the video games kind of come from Dungeons & Dragons just in that format?
Well, D&D came out before any of them, so it was the format for all of them.
I mean, I think my first.
Well, we're getting started.
Yeah, I think my first experience with any RPG was probably Final Fantasy. So it definitely, kind of draws you into that sense of, the turn-based system and. Your same general mechanics for D&D. You have a hell of a lot more freedom.
So like with an RPG game, instead of rolling dice, physically,
same concept, but yeah,
it auto generates. Is that what it does?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alrighty.
It's more of a set thing than you have free range.
Gotcha. Now, we're all kind of young for this, but was it ever frowned upon by any relatives of yours for playing Dungeons and Dragons or anything? The whole satanic panic?
The satanic panic thing was retarded.
Never the satanic panic, but
not
this
for
one
D&D.
Time, mine and Aaron's dad got mad because we stayed up all night playing one time, and we didn't go to church. And you could even ask a few other buddies of ours about this, and they really wanted us to go to church, and we were like, no, we didn't stop playing until like 7 o'clock, no. And whatever, he was like, he stomped and was like, the devil's in my house! You could even ask.
Wow.
So D&D stopped you from going and speaking to the Lord.
Oh, that's his playing at the worst, man. That's twisting it.
Yeah, he never really did that again because all of our friends make fun of him relentlessly over it. So, I don't care who hears that or knows it either. We still make fun of him over that.
That's an action. It's not a free action.
Okay, that's fine.
So, I just boost my
first
decks
exposure and to a role playing game was actually not in a video game. It was a paper D&D second edition starter set. The players, the DM guide and player's handbook was in black and white, and we bought it at Walmart back
really?
In like the 90s. Yes, I still have the old box, but bear in mind this is so long ago. You could still get Games Workshop's Hero Quest in Walmart. To put that in perspective, Hero Quest, the board game, which is kind of like a really light role playing game. But it's like you move through like a maze or whatever, and you have like you draw out the map on like pre-made paper, or you make notes of where you want like obstacles and enemies to be. Yeah, I don't know how many people remember Hero Quest at all. Everyone's heard of Warhammer 40K.
Yeah, it's like I remember.
Games Workshop made a game called Hero Quest.
Yeah, I remember the name, but I
back
never
in my day.
Back in my day, there wasn't really a whole lot of groups when I was, kind
no,
of...
No, it wasn't
when I,
a popular
no,
thing.
Well,
no,
it wasn't,
understand,
it wasn't that, so much that
we didn't
either,
know what this
like,
was. Like Aaron...
Yeah.
Aaron got it because he had heard... Like, he was a bit older, but he was, like, in middle school. I was in, like, elementary. And he had, like, heard about people who... he'd heard about the concept, and there were some people at school that were like, it'd be cool to play this. You ought to get together and play with us sometime. He never actually got together with any of those people. But to put that in perspective, that was before he went to Lewis County. Yeah. Granted, people on the podcast that are going to be listening to this aren't going to have no understand this timeline at all. So, but basically, before Aaron ever went to Lewis County or probably met any of you guys, there was somebody that was interested in D&D in Mason County. He wanted to give it a try. And he bought, like, the starter set, and we played it with Mammal a couple of times. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It came with paper minis that you actually, like, cut out and, like, folded and, like, clipped to the bottom.
It's like, I think...
I didn't pay it.
I think, like, as far as, like, gaming, kind of in a social setting, was probably with Trevor.
Oh, where, you poor people.
Yeah. As when, because, I mean, that's where we were at. He was just down the road, so, you know, I went out to his place. We played Nintendo. Just your regular old Nintendos. It's just whatever he had, which is... the Turtles games and the you know, of course, Mario. And then kind of through that, and I started getting into a little more sophisticated gaming. I never got a chance to play anything like Zelda or anything on the NES, but like I think what was it? Castlevania. I didn't play it very, very long, didn't get very far, but it was like one of the first pseudo RPG element about it that kind of really started drawing me in. I like that gameplay, I like that idea, and then just kind of gravitated more toward anything that was character advancing narrative and choice, you know, anything that allowed you to make a choice in your character's development. And then, you know, when we finally, it was sad, when we finally got old enough to be able to kind of really go out and do more, you know, that's when, you know, started to hear about and start contemplating the RPG, kind of tabletop, paper setting. Kind of thing, but I was still definitely more digital for a long time.
Yeah, like my first exposure was back when we still had On Cue in town.
Oh, God.
And
I remember On Cue.
We was, you know, us as kids, we were into vampires and werewolves and stuff.
Yeah.
And there was this neat.
The Masquerade?
Yeah. It was like White Wolf, I think, was
the
company.
Yeah, that was Vampire the Masquerade, VTM. I remember that because I played it.
But I saw the book. I'm like, holy crap, this book looks awesome.
Well, yeah,
I bought it.
And
then I took it home. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell
what the
is
hell
this?
No, that's the one I want to think. Somehow I got a hold of one of those books and took it home. And, I had no idea about it being a game. Or how it was played, or any of that. It's like I took it home. Now that did garner because of obviously the blood magic and all the kind of stuff that you know you typically you know give to your vampire setting. That one got a little bit of like satanic kind of fear.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like what are you doing? What are you into?
Like, what in the world?
And I still.
Like,
if you ever
read some of the short fiction that like. Fans of Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh, I can imagine.
Books.
Yes, yeah.
Or like, they actually had, like, collections of stories and stuff. It was very much, like, sanguine BDSM fetish.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Necro
it makes
murder.
It, sound, it makes it sound pretty
basically,
like,
you do your dark fantasies and everything. It was
yeah.
Like,
and I still own that book to this day.
Really?
It's up at the house.
That right, surprised me.
The next question I was going to ask is, there's races and classes and everything in that. Like, you guys have a particular favorite?
I tend to favor...
would you like to be an elf barbarian or yada yada?
Tend to favor elves just because of the
they get a lot of longevity
and just how they act more so than anything.
Well, they have a little bit more versatility.
Yeah, that's
in certain areas. I tend to favor mostly human races because. They have the most kind of base level versatility.
I may vary from
the. They can pretty much do anything and do it decent.
So
yeah, definitely.
I can tell you, at least in second edition, second edition was. I mean, I played a lot of it. I still have shit tons of books from when Aaron played it. And a lot of good material came out of that. But the dice system, I honestly thought could be pretty difficult. But,
there's a lot of people I hated those editions, though. That's because they didn't get into it.
This is one of the weirdest things about D&D, man. Like, so first edition was like extremely basic.
Yeah.
Like very basic. D20 was pretty fucking simple. But it was, to my understanding, I never played it. It was kind of a build up of more complicated wargaming, I guess. So, like, the first edition of Dungeons & Dragons was based more on a game called Chainmail, which is actually, like, a tabletop war game with, like, dice and stuff. Like, role-playing came out of wargaming, and when you say wargaming now, the only company that really kind of has the monopoly on that is Warhammer 40K. Or Games Workshop, making the Warhammer stuff.
Like, how they had to make plans during wars and stuff, that's essentially how all it's...
Literally, there are people that still do like wargaming, but like wargaming,
right.
Wargaming's almost like a.
It's a totally separate genre.
Very separate.
It is now. Like, now I'll tell you what though. Like, 40K fans will still do D&D stuff and roleplay, and there's 40K roleplay.
You can still do it. It's one of those.
But like actual like wargaming,
when you get a little bit more, it's wargaming's
more
like, mental kind of.
It's more tactical than it is.
Well, not just that. It's two different mental kind of.
Well, he's right. You're not developing a character and a narrative in a war game.
You're mostly
just dealing with very complicated board game pieces, and it like war gaming, I think, tends to buddy up more to like the modeling and crafting scene.
Right.
Yeah.
Because people like put together vehicles and stuff.
Right.
And it's still kind of like a historical scene, like people do like tabletop reenactments, Civil War battles.
Yeah.
World War One battles, Prussian and army battles, stuff like that.
What race do you go more towards?
I generally always like to play human barbarians because I'm just going to be honest. I've always thought the Conan movies were awesome, and the sword and sorcery setting was. I don't know how to describe this. The sword and sorcery setting seemed more dangerous and mysterious because the concept, to me at least, was.
There's more danger involved in that. Really.
Like, there's more danger, humans, and usually usually sword and sorcery settings have only humans and don't have demi-humans, or like other like magical races. Magic's an extremely misunderstood thing. It's not in common practice, and it very much fits the realm of being an antagonist or adding an element of horror. But most sword and sorcery is really more like. It's like, you know, conquest, slave ships, political intrigue,
a lot of fighting.
Swashbuckling.
That's the reason a lot of people go towards D&D more, because of magic and more fantasy.
Also, this D&D, like high fantasy and just straight up D&D has way more, there's way more diversity and options and customization.
Yeah.
D&D has way more variety, and even just looking through like that Conan role playing book that I picked up, it's like, oh, you have like homeland skills based on where you're from. So the closest you get to like a quote like racial trait is like, oh, you're from like this kind of region and this kind of an everyman skill of that. And then as far as classes go, it's like mercenary is a little different than a scoundrel, who's a little different from a shaman.
Yeah, there's a difference.
And you're a shaman, which you got to be really careful about who you interact with. Because you're doing stuff that's probably going to get you killed. If the magic itself doesn't kill you, etc.
Yeah.
So, sword and sorcery settings do stranglehold a player a fair bit, but I also think it adds
challenging to
it. It adds a lot of challenge and mystery. Because
you're limited in what you can do.
So, but it can still feel really epic. But I always liked human barbarians, and I just felt like, playing a human character was just, I kind of like the idea of like a very common or basic human.
Steve, you haven't chimed in any.
Speak up, Steve.
up for more human type characters because it does allow me to get a better mental picture. I can portray myself, project you know, myself into the character.
You can connect to that better than being a tiefling or something.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I mean, I love, it's for me personally, love the high fantasy, love the sword and sorcery. I mean, personally, I enjoy more of the sword. But it's the element of the sorcery that brings it, not just, you know, everything, everyday events that happened, that happened centuries ago and can happen today, and it brings in that element of magic, fantasy, and mystery that really kind of draws you to the game. And in that respect, the mystery and the appeal of elves and other creatures with their unique skills, abilities, and kind of a neat way to every once in a while switch up and play in another person's skin, play, so to speak. It allows you, like, play as a human, well, as you are a person, that allows you to connect to it better. But suppose you want to, you know, step out of yourself and into something totally different, that allows you that opportunity. And right. I enjoy that option in that.
At least they give you the option to do other
things. Yes.
For somebody that's new to all this, like, you know, wanting to get into it and give it a shot.
Like, everybody's new to an extent to this. It's still something you've got to learn over years. It's not...
Like, is there something that could ease somebody into playing a game like this? Because it can get pretty advanced and intense. Yeah. Like, somebody that's just wanting to dabble and just to see. Is there any games in particular?
I can tell you, in my opinion, and this is both because the first starter set I played with had, like, a fold-out map and stuff. And there are games, they're called adventure games or dungeon crawlers, have a lot of role-playing elements, but you don't make complicated decisions. Like where the game we're playing tonight, that we're incorporating into the podcast here, like... The way you would have a scenario like what we went through tonight played out, there would be like a pirate ship or slave ship, whatever shaped board. The scenario would be laid out and it would be, you have no option. Here's where things are. Proceed through the level, basically, like a video game.
Yeah.
And your individual piece would have a different, like...
In our, it was pre-made.
Pre-made, and like your character, if you will, would have basically been... What, you know, what do you want to walk through this brawler stage with, like in gold, with a different fighting style, like Golden Axe or King of the Dragons kind of thing. Only on a tabletop with a board and miniature figurines and dice. But those kind of games, and like HeroQuest ain't around anymore, so I can't recommend that anymore, unless you're willing to pay like $500 on like eBay or Amazon to get it. Opened, and...
I'm trying to think of one that's more modern than even... Descent. I can't really think of anything right now.
There's a game called Descent that has the same thing. But basically, just Google, like, dungeon crawling games. Or, honestly, the Dungeons & Dragons board games are a good example.
Well, Halo Wars, stuff like that.
Halo Wars, the board game?
No, they got it where... They got, like, turn-based games and stuff you can do that with you. Or straight on just dungeon crawl games of that sort. Like... Diablo, stuff like that, is pretty much the same thing. If you're interested in that kind of thing and get into it, you can put that easily in a D&D setting.
Oh, yeah.
You would just have to have the...
Now, I mean, when it comes to video games, I kind of feel like... I feel like, for the most part, when it comes to role-playing video games, it's... I mean, that's...
Well, to get somebody interested into it. What if
But all of them work. I mean, I don't know if, like... I don't know if there's, like, a video game in particular I'd say is inappropriate to somebody new to, like, role-playing games or something like that. Because video games are kind of purpose-built to appeal to fairly wide audiences.
Yeah.
Unlike tabletop, which is, you know, fairly niche. So, like, that was my take on the question. Like, if I wanted to get somebody into playing Dungeons & Dragons, but this is obviously past them, I'm like... Well, pretty close. This would be like the Dungeons and Dragons board games, where you have like the map generated tiles.
Yeah, you got them generated. You got options. You got objectives to do it.
It's not Dungeons and Dragons related, but I'll tell you another game that's two games that are pretty good as far as role playing like goes. They're very difficult as far as board games go, though. The Arkham Horror games are very good role playing light, But they're very board game heavy, and like you'll spend longer playing them than like a set than like a role playing.
Yeah, you have to dedicate like a shift at work almost.
Yeah, like Arkham Horror,
like a good 6 to 7 hours.
Any supplements is like an 8 hour game, and the role playing elements are not like you don't like guide a narrative with like a character and their attitudes in mind.
Like, well, anything like this,
you guys had like a kind of like a whole like. What's the moral code of my character and how I'm going to interact with this fairly
complex you don't have to worry about that.
Social situation. And something like Arkham Horror, it's just like, I'm better at fighting stuff. I should hang out in the area where a pistol may generate so that I have a handgun.
Yeah.
I think so, the best thing about this type of tabletop gaming is the amount of freedom you have. You know, with the 5th edition layout, you know, you can take and leave out whatever you kind of want to for whatever game you're playing and whoever you're playing
with.
They
definitely simplified it for a
lot of people. Well, not just simplified the rules itself, but you can kind of pick and choose which rules you wish to enforce.
Also, set aside time. This is not like you sit down for like an hour to play this certain game, get to a level. No, this type of stuff you have to set at least
as far
3 hours at least to get through something like
as far as starting out, there are pre-made games.
Yes.
With pre-made characters that you just simply walk through. The biggest thing here is imagination, creativity, and time.
Yeah.
You start off basic and you realize that you can add or...
You can dive into it more. You can add certain elements to
the more you, so like with anything, the more you practice with it, the more you realize your enjoyments, what you want to add in, what you want to leave out.
Yeah, and you're not, you know, you're not constrained by, you know, your super heavy rules like in some of the board games or in definitely not the video games. You know, like say you, depending on who you're playing with, the rules are really
immutable. You can
as the guy running the game, I'm free to just say these guys don't have many hit points.
Yeah, you can adjust to how
you know what, I don't feel like rerolling characters, so I don't care if you're at zero HP, you're not dead.
So,
you're knocked out for like two rounds and you're gonna lose some
stuff. You're not being told this is how you have to play each and every time. You can kind of
you make up your own world. It's literally just making up your own world.
And as you, definitely the more you get into it, and you can start out with the tabletop version, board games, and it kind of starts opening up your mind. Okay, I would like to be able to do this more, or go this direction more with this character, or do whatever. And then that opens, that kind of opens up the actual more paper. Character sheet where you're like, okay, I want to do this more. I want to be able to say I'm doing this more.
I come from here. I know this.
Yes. Having more control over dialogue. You know, it's like there's no dialogue in your board, in your actual board game.
So, and you narrate your narrative.
Yeah.
You come up with your narrative.
You basically tell the story. Yeah. You get to make your own.
Well, and it also comes down to a lot of these board games, a lot of these earlier games, before the digital age really started to get going, and you had, you know, video games, everything was pre-made, pre-arranged, pre-calculated, but also very visually beautiful, visually stunning, draw you in very easily. It's about how, like, when you go from radio to television, this game, you basically have to use more of your imagination, more of your creativity. You have to open your mind more and really use that. And you get the chance to do that. And that is something that, especially with the older generation, as to maybe the more newer ones that are very much addicted to electronics, this is more about connecting with your friends, people, using your mind to create something on a larger scale.
Mind and actual social skills.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily
in a nerdy way, but yeah.
It's like anything else. You just develop it over time.
You know that social skills, listeners? We're all fucking spazzes.
We're all just like, ah!
But
this.
Again,
It's like, ah, people! I prefer elves!
I prefer elves! Go, you communists!
But, again, the video games make it simpler, easier, faster, visually stunning. But, again, it, you have to follow the rules and structures that have already been pre-made instead of being able to actually innovate for yourself, which I think is a lot better simply because it does allow you to expand to anywhere you want to go.
Right. Well, fellas, thanks for letting me interrupt your game. Maybe we can get together and do this again. I actually enjoyed listening to this. So, tune in next time.
People would fall asleep to us, Jerry.
Right. Well, hopefully not. Well, catch you on the flip side.